it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Friday. All right, Clint. C.J. Stroud, he spoke to the media yesterday, and he talked about in response to the question of kind of the outside noise, things that's going around and circulating. The conversation in particular around him is picking up and starting to move. We talked about it yesterday, maybe the honeymoon period a little bit is sliding over, and I think fans and people are having more expectations for him. Here was CJ as he is handling the outside noise.
Yeah, I don't care, to be honest. I've gotten so used to people loving you when you're up, hating you when you're down. It's just how, you know, like, just people, this entertainment business operates, you know. So I try to think of my value as like what God sees me as, my family, my friends, my teammates. And that helps me stay level-headed because, like, I think it's a lie when people say words don't hurt. Like, there's a reason why we go to church and hear a sermon. There's a reason why we like music. There's a reason why, you know, like, we go to see comedians do their thing. We laugh. Like, words do have effect. So, like, for me, I try not to just look at it and, like, try to just stay, like, kind of like a horse and, like, just vision, tunnel vision. So, I've learned to not love the love or not hate the hate. And it's really helped me. And I try to tell my family, they get all mad and stuff. But, like, you know, at the end of the day, everybody's entitled to their opinion, right on to them. But I can control what I can control. And that's, you know, what I do on the field. And everybody, like I said, is entitled to what they think.
All right, I did that yesterday when I heard that horse laugh.
Confusion.
You don't remember that
yesterday? What are we doing?
I heard the tunnel vision. I see it. Tunnel, a horse, tunnel vision.
I mean, how long was that cut? How long was that cut, Tyler?
Minute and 6 seconds.
Minute six, and I imagine you trimmed it up pretty good for something we don't care about.
I actually didn't get to, or I would have had a little shorter, but
yeah,
I appreciate your confidence.
Tunnel vision. Of course. All right. Secretary.
Makes sense, but when you hear it, it's so awkward.
He said it like it was maybe it's a normal saying. It's the first time I've heard
here's
it.
The deal. Here's the deal with CJ, though. Like, do you think that is a. Because I think it'd be one of two things. Do you think CJ's just like not real comfortable communicating those lines, or do you think CJ is trying to toe the line because. He may have went a little bit overboard in that post-game presser talking about, you know, guys didn't practice well. And he may have gotten a little talking to on that front end. So now all of a sudden he's over here he's over here philosophizing.
No, I don't think so, because if you listen, CJ's done some stuff like that. There's over the last couple of years.
It's not good. Huh? I mean, it's not. I mean, it has nothing to do with football. It's nothing to do with football. But I'm just like, I mean, that's rough.
From the football.
I mean, in the locker room. I mean, I don't know about the locker room now because times have changed clearly.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
But I'm gonna tell you, man. If I'd have went to the presser with that right there, with that horse comment and all of the job, I mean, I'd have got roasted in the locker room.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
they'd have been calling me Mr. Ed for a month. I mean, I would have got roasted.
If anyone on the Texans is listening, they got an idea now.
I mean, do we still roast in the locker room? Is that still acceptable in the world?
I believe we do.
I mean,
I believe they do. Okay. I believe they do. But from the football part of it, I don't believe him that it doesn't bother him. I think it all bothers him. I think it bothers him. I think he watches last night and sees, damn, look at Jordan Love.
Yeah.
Look at what he's doing. I know I'm better than that dude. Last year, this time, everybody was talking about me as the next guy. Look at Jaden Daniels, how they're talking about him. Like, look at hell, you picked him as your MVP this year. Look at Jaden Daniels, how people.
Last night was a rough night for my MVP.
Yeah, still got them two touchdowns for fantasy purposes. but I think he sees what's happening around the league and how he is slowly. Maybe getting looked differently, And I think that affects him. And that's why, Clint, I think arguably this Sunday is, regular season-wise, it's right up there as one of the most important games for him, because I think people, even in the fan base, for like maybe the first time, I think people are looking like, hey man, what you gonna do here?
Yeah, it's time.
Like, what you gonna do here? I know last year we blamed Bobby and stuff for things, but everybody ain't just looking at Nick Caley on how Nico Collins wasn't involved in the offense. I think people are now looking like, how did you not get the ball to Nico Collins?
Yeah.
And I think that is, and I think he hears that.
Sure.
And I think this game is extremely important.
It's okay. I mean, and it's okay if you do. I was never one that tuned out all the noise. I mean that fueled me. I mean, hell, I told you I had a photographer in my then girlfriend's living room that we were paying to take pictures, tell me that I wasn't good enough to play at the next level kind of deal, and that fueled me until the day I quit. I mean, it's okay to hear those things and for that to fuel you. I don't have a problem with that at all. And to your latter point of like looking at CJ of getting Nico the ball, I agree with you. It's got to be it's not a forced deal. It's not a forced deal. It's if it doesn't happen early, if it, like in the first drive, if it doesn't happen, hey, Kaylee, we got to have a conversation. If you're on the sideline, let's have a face to face. If you're in the booth, let's have one on the phone. A conversation has to be had. I mean, it is very common. I think at all levels of football, and definitely in the NFL, it is very common for coordinators to use short motions or quick motions to create a soft corner and to then throw a speed cut out route or a quick out or a stick route or stack route or snag route, whatever you want to call it. Like, it's very, very common. And if we don't see those, I think C.J. Stroud should be the very first one to take note and go, "Hey, what the hell are we doing here?" Yeah, so I think it's on him as well. Definitely as we move forward here in the season.
Now, I've always thought that he's played a bigger role than many people have, but we're starting to see it. I know Tyler is on the text line, and I know obviously the text line, YouTube and Twitch isn't everything in the fan base.
It's a good feel.
Or Twitter or social media, but. Instead of now, it used to be, all right, hey, man, like the offense didn't score 14 points. What did these things do?
Everything but CJ.
Or, hey, man, they couldn't get the ball to Nico Collins. What did this do before they got to him? And now we're starting to see a little bit more and more of, hey, man, you ran into a sack. Or, hey, man, you didn't help this. Or, yo, it looks like, hey, we scored 14 points. We can't blame anybody else. Like, it's got to come to the dude. We're starting to see, I think, him being judged the way that I'm surprised we hadn't gotten here a little bit faster. Not surprised, because CJ saved was a big part of saving this organization from where it was 3 years ago when, as I've said, that televangelist was trying to run the organization and they were in an awful spot. He saved it, so I can understand. But I think now people are turning the corner and looking like, hey, man, like this offense can't
rightfully
score
14
points or 9 points and not score a touchdown, and we look everywhere else except for at the best player, right?
Yeah.
And we are seeing that load up. I'm seeing it right now on the text line. People, you know, coming through watching the game, you know, CJ has regressed or he's got worse or, you know. We're seeing that a lot more, and I think he sees it, and I think he hears it, and I think if we have another game where this offense struggles and he doesn't look like himself, I think the alarms go off even more.
Well, it's an interesting dynamic here in Houston, right? Is because it's a double-edged sword of a sense of you've got a quarterback that is talented enough to be a franchise quarterback and to make $65 million a year. Think about that for a minute. $65 million a year. You've got a guy that's shown the ability in a short career, 2 years, that's shown the ability to be that guy. You haven't necessarily supported that player the way that he deserves to be supported.
That's just the reality of it, right?
That's all these things can be true at one time. You have not supported. I said when D'Amico Ryans got hired, when you hire a defensive-minded head coach, the most number one priority is you got a top defense in the league. Number two is you find the right offensive coordinator. They still have, maybe this guy's it, but they still have not done that. It's been rough, right? Last year and this year, one game. The support has not necessarily been there. But you're looking at a guy that the expectations, fair or foul, the expectations are to make everything right, because we've seen you be a rookie of the year. We've seen you throw for more yards per game and less interceptions than anybody else in a season. We've seen you do that. So the expectations are through the roof. It is a very interesting dynamic. And bottom line is, it's life in the NFL. And CJ's the one that's got to make this thing right. I said it a million times. At some point, it's not going to be about whoever D'Amico hires as the offensive coordinator. If you pay a guy $65 million a year, he's got to be able to go to the line of scrimmage and go, hey, man, y'all slide this thing left. I'm going to throw hot off this guy, and boom. At some point, he's got to be the guy that fixes those things. And I think this is a year that he's got to do it. This is a year he's got to earn $65 a year.
Are the Texans in trouble if they go 0-2? And when I mean in trouble in terms of maybe making the playoffs, not coming close to reaching their goals. Are they in trouble if they lose this one?
Yes.
You think so?
Yeah, look, I think it matters how. I mean, it always matters how.
Because the Bucs are a good football team.
It always matters how. Look, if the Bucs are a good football team. If you go out there and you get into a shootout and you lose it, then you know, hey, that's, you probably stomach that one. If the offense goes out there and scores 9 points, 10 points, you're going to have problems. It's just like it's no different than in Detroit right now. Detroit lost their offensive coordinator and their defensive coordinator. They went out and scored 6 points last week. If Detroit, as good as Detroit was a year ago, if they go out and they score 9, 10 points this year.
Or this week, yeah.
I'm sorry, yeah, this week. Then folks are going to look at Detroit a little bit different. So, yeah, I think it matters how. But I think an 0-2 start is a tough start for anybody that has playoff expectations and damn sure Super Bowl expectations.
Especially if the Colts somehow beat the Broncos.
Yeah.
And if the Jags beat the Bengals. And by the way the Bengals and Broncos played last week, both of those things, and the way that the Jags and Colts played last week, both of those things are doable.
Yeah.
I mean, both of them, those teams should have lost to the Browns and the Titans last week, to be honest with you, the way they played. That will also change the way we think of things. Their next four are at the Jags after this week against the Bucks, at the Jags, home Titans, at Ravens, and then at Seahawks.